frequent partier and suffered from drug and alcohol abuse before his death. Luis is hopeful that his son's foundation can help others seek the aid they need. This past year, the Luis Tijerina Foundation was set up to help those who need help getting off drug and alcohol abuse and to go through the rehab. I had to disconnect him from life support, and that's something that I never thought in my life that I would have to do with one of my kids, and to see him go before me, Luis said. The foundation is to help make sure no other parent has to go through what I did. If people don't have the money to go through, they'll put the money up as a nonprofit. We do accept donations, Luis said. We do have a tax ID number. We ask for donations, but we also believe in going out and working for it. Those who have been helped by the foundation, all we ask for them is to help by paying it forward, by doing a little bit of work with us, and spread the word about us, and to help a loved one so that they don't have to go through what we did. The foundation took up to 3 years to achieve 501c3 status. Getting it set up required a lot of paperwork, and it wasn't until July of last year when Luis received a notice from Austin that they had become a federally recognized nonprofit organization. For the first part, it was certainly a lot of paperwork, Luis said. We got to a point where some things didn't get done through LegalZoom, and I had to step in and take care of things. It took a little bit longer than what we thought it would take. It was just a lot of getting paperwork done and trying to figure out what our mission was and what we're going to do as far as the foundation was concerned, and trying to help people with drug and alcohol problems and help them to pay for their rehabilitation. But getting it set up didn't come without its nervy moments for Luis. There was a lot of anxiety, and I have to fill my mind with the process of the foundation and setting up brochures, and we hired a grant writer to see if we can get a grant, Luis said. All these kinds of things we did. I had to keep my mind occupied. But I also forced myself to focus on the other things that would make us a foundation, like designing a website so that we can put it online and get all the other things done to go along with that. We had to set up credit card submissions and be able to do PayPal and all the things that we can get donations and people could donate. It makes it a lot easier for us to have those transactions. Luis has explored different ways to raise funds for the foundation, one of which includes selling plants. Luis, who's an avid gardener, has been busy raising crops this year for the foundation. The money that is raised from any of the produce that he sells will go towards the foundation. For him, his backyard has become a place for him to meditate. Every free moment that I have, I've spent back here in the backyard, and I do a lot of thinking and to put things into perspective and ideas for the foundation and raising funds to make the money come in so that we can help someone get off the drug and alcohol abuse and go through the rehab, Luis said. Luis is also a Native American chief. He's talked to a few people about their addictions and has helped point them in the right direction, sometimes through emails and letters. He's also helped out other Native Americans who have gone through addictions, one of which was from Arizona. He couldn't get away from it, Luis said. He was convinced that he needed to commit himself to an Alcohol Anonymous program and came through that program. He sent me a follow-up letter and said that I couldn't have done this without you and the support that you gave me. In addition, he's also published 3 books about Native American heritage and culture. When I sell those books, the proceeds go to the foundation, Luis said. But as the foundation continues to grow and help people out, Luis says it has also given his son's death meaning. It's not something that everyone does or has to do when faced with this sudden death and ripping away from a loved one, Louise said. There has to be something that makes it worthwhile, and this is what it is for me. It helps me to carry that load. It doesn't make it any easier. I'll never get over it. But it does make it better for me to say that I helped that parent go through something that I went through. Follow Michael Bauer on Twitter at OAMICHAELBA. Teach Your Kids About Healthy Eating by Levi Stone, RN, MSN, Chief Nursing Officer. Over the past several weeks, families have drawn closer together, finding activities to do with their children, and hopefully taking advantage of an otherwise difficult and uncertain time we are facing. Children rely on positive role models to help shape their decisions and future behaviors. One of the most important responsibilities we as adults have is guiding our children in making smart dietary choices. Gauging how successful we are bridges on how we manage our own diet and food choices. A great way to start is to commit in planning and cooking the majority of your own meals and include your children in the process. According to the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, obesity in children and adolescents has remained fairly stable at about 17%, affecting around 12.7 million people between the ages of 2 to 18. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention state that children who are obese are more likely to become obese adults, and the complications from obesity will likely be more severe, which can include heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. A child's odds in becoming overweight and/or obese weigh heavily on their eating habits, either by the choices they make or the adults feeding them. Diet is one thing we can control, and the American Heart Association recommends combating childhood obesity by reducing the number of meals eaten outside the home, having structured times for family meals, offering healthier, lower-calorie foods, and involving children in meal planning, shopping, and preparation. Through meal planning and preparation with our children, we not only make healthier decisions, but also teach our kids to do the same. It allows them to expand their palate by trying new foods with different textures and tastes, and understanding the importance of making healthier choices without sacrificing flavor and fun. Of course, your child's age will dictate just how intimately he or she will be involved in the whole process, but most children can help with meals by the time they reach 5 years old. It's best to start with a simple meal and build from there. Begin with an easy appetizer, such as crudités, fancy word for raw vegetables, and a dipping sauce. Pick a few vegetables your child knows, like carrots, tomatoes, and broccoli, and a few they may not, such as snap peas, asparagus, or squash. Cut up the vegetables into bite-sized servings and arrange on a platter to highlight the various colors of vegetables, and instead of grabbing a bottle of already prepared ranch dip, which can be laden with fat and sugar, make your own by adding 1/2 teaspoon of each of the following to 3/4 cup of plain Greek yogurt, salt, black pepper, onion powder, garlic powder, and dill. Mix these ingredients with 1/2 cup of milk, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, and 2 tablespoons of parsley for a ranch dip that gives you an extra pop of protein and less fat compared to sour cream. As you and your family snack on a healthy but very tasty appetizer, get everyone to pitch in to make a familiar but healthier version of your favorite pizza. Opt for a multigrain flatbread family members can use as the crust for their pizza, and offer a sauce or two, such as tomato or pesto, along with a variety of lean proteins, such as grilled chicken and lean ground beef, and vegetables, such as mushrooms, peppers, and onions. And don't forget the cheese, but don't go overboard. A light sprinkle of mozzarella and grated Parmesan is more than enough to get the job done. Experimenting with the different toppings gives your kiddo choices and is fun for them to participate in making their own culinary masterpiece. Not only can it be a great time to bond and enjoy time as a family, but is also a perfect opportunity to educate children about the ingredients you add to your meals, including portion control, and in helping them make smarter food choices outside of the home. Now that you've got an idea of how easy planning and preparing your own meals can be, let the creative juices flow by looking for recipes your family will continue to enjoy. Over time, you'll be swapping out traditional ingredients with those that are more nutritious and just as flavorful to maximize the benefits in cooking your own meals. Most importantly, you'll help change the way your children see food and provide a positive influence for them to maintain a healthy weight and lifestyle. Master Gardeners, Chicken Keeping More Beneficial Than Ever in Uncertain Times by Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. This year has been full of unexpected changes and challenges, including the run on eggs at the grocery store. I live in the country, and since 2004, I have kept anywhere from 4 to 40 chickens at a time. I knew nothing about chicken keeping the day I walked in a local feed store with my husband and wandered to the back to see where all the peeping was coming from. Life has never been the same. The breeds of chickens would take a book to discuss, and there are many you can buy. The internet is a valuable tool as well. Top of the list is the Texas A&M Poultry Department. They are a wealth of information and are great about answering questions if you will post on their site. Local chicken owners are getting phone calls about where chickens can be purchased, and the all-important question, do you have any eggs for sale? If you are thinking about getting chickens, here are the basics. Within the city limits, Midland allows up to 4 hens, no roosters. Odessa does not allow chickens within the city limits. There are chickens who are bred for meat, and others are egg layers. If you get on the websites for the hatcheries, information you need will be there. You do not need a rooster to have eggs. Most hens lay an egg approximately every 18 hours, which varies by breed. They need to be in a safe place, away from other pets and small children. They are cute, but fragile. If you buy chicks, you need to have the nursery ready before you bring them home. I keep the chicks in a cardboard box. Anything will work. About the size a washer would come in. I use a heat lamp and a drop light with a clamp and keep the light clamped on the side of the box. Chicks need to be kept between 95 and 105 degrees in the beginning. If the chicks get hot, they will move to the other side of the box. The bottom of the box needs to be covered and should be changed out daily. Chicks will eat chick starter from a tray. All chickens, regardless of age, require fresh water at all times. Both the feed tray and the waterer are available at feed stores. I have purchased chicks at the feed store as well as ordering them online. If you order them online, they come via the U.S. mail. They arrive by overnight mail, and the post office expects you to pick them up immediately. They will contact you. As in all things, you will have successes and failures. If you decide to give it a shot, hang in there and learn as you go along. By the way, those original 6 chickens turned out to be 5 chickens and a turkey. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggiehorticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Strawberries require time, effort. Strawberries are a delicious, sweet fruit. If you grow them at home and harvest them at the peak time, you can have an amazing quality. When deciding to plant strawberries for the best heavy bearing of fruit, you will want to plant in the fall. But we all know spring is the time that many people will be planting them. As soon as the soil is dry and able to be worked, March, April, you can plant strawberries. You will need to ensure that they are well established before the blistering summer heat hits. Because of wind, heat, and insect damage, high tunnels or just covered gardening practices are recommended. Strawberries prefer a sunny location with good quality soil and water. They grow best at a soil pH that is slightly acidic, 5.5 to 6.5. Here in West Texas, we have slightly alkaline soil. So if working with native soil, the addition of sulfur can be helpful for the strawberries to grow well. You can also add ammonium sulfate, high acid fertilizer, as well as some compost to amend your soil. Raised beds are the ideal option along with drip irrigation. Strawberries like moist but not excessively wet soils. Apply fertilizer like Miracle-Gro or any strawberry food you can find at your local nursery. Apply 50% at planting, then weekly throughout the growing season. When deciding to plant strawberries, be willing and ready to put in a lot of time and effort. But if you invest this time, the reward of sweet strawberries will be very worth it. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. If you are willing and ready to put in a lot of time and effort, you will reap the reward of sweet strawberries. Gardening, Jeanette Castanone. Castanone is a horticulturist with Texas AgriLife Extension Service. She can be reached at 686-4700 or by email at Jeanette, J-E-A-N-E-T-T-E, dot Castanone, C-A-S-T-A-N-O-N, at ag.tamu.edu. Pets of the Week. Shasta, a 2-year-old female Doberman mix, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Shasta or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 381-5503, visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50. The photo shows a almost completely black dog with a looks like a few brown markings. Photo courtesy of Odessa Humane Society. Winky, a 1-year-old male cat, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Winky or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 381-5503, visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com /Humane Society of Odessa. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50. The photo of Winky shows that he appears to be blind in one eye. He looks to be marked like a tabby cat. And he's only 1 year old, so he must not be very large yet. Photo courtesy of Odessa Humane Society.
Pediatric patient artwork needed for National Ace Hardware Calendar. Each year, Ace Hardware stores across the country hand out hundreds of thousands of calendars to their customers as a thank you to them. Ace recently announced that the 2021 calendar will once again feature pediatric patient artwork, and 10 cents of every calendar that a retailer purchases will benefit their local Children's Miracle Network Hospital at Medical Center Health System. Calendar sales are expected to raise $100,000 across the network. ACE needs hospitals' help filling in artwork to be featured each month in the calendar. If selected, the child's first name, age, and CMN hospital will be included in the calendar. In addition, ACE Hardware will make a $500 donation in that child's name to MCHS. Artwork for the months of April, July, and December should be scanned in color or a cell phone photo or mobile app for scanning and emailed to hhoweye@echd.org by May 1st.
Lee's Top 10 Revealed. Lee High Administrators and Counselors Caravan through town Friday, stopping to honor the top 10 seniors of 2020. Principal Stan Van Hooser presents valedictorian Elizabeth Bodley the number one recognition. The following are Lee High School's top 10 students in the senior class. The top 10 was announced Friday. Midland High's top 10 will appear in Monday's Reporter Telegram. 1. Elizabeth Bodley. 2. Philip Wallace. 3. Tana Pollock. 4. Ying Su. 5. Francisco Maldonado. 6. Nikhil Dimri. 7. Hayden Ham. 8. Colton Meeks. 9. Rory McGuire. 10. Kramer Smith.
Hello, this is Michael. Those are all of the lifestyle and feature columns from this week's Midland and Odessa newspapers. So we're going to fill the rest of the half hour with other things. This is an article that was published in the San Angelo Standard Times newspaper on April 10th. And since this past week was Willie Nelson's 87th birthday, we thought we would give this a read. Texana reads Willie's memoir, A Tale That's Texas, Through and Through, by Dr. Manuel Flores, Texana reads. Sometimes it's good to get back to our roots, Texas roots, that is. And what can be more Texas than a dose of Willie Nelson? The iconic Texas crooner gives us that and much more in his 2012 memoir, Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die, titled after a song by the same name. The lyrics to the song serve as a preview to the context of his book. Willie, you see, has lived his life well. Along the way, there were bumps and roadblocks that could have hampered his success, but he put his Texas on and lived to tell a tale. When I get my wings and it's my time to fly, call my friends and tell them there's a party, come on by, and just roll me up and smoke me when I die. In this book, with a foreword by Kinky Friedman, Willie tells it all. In his words, you can see why he is as Texas as a field of bluebonnets or the Alamo. You will learn about Willie's grandpa and Reddy the cow, whom he called his first horse. If you're from Texas, you'll get it. You'll read how he grew up, listening to some of the country music greats, and tried to emulate him best he could. But he never compromised a unique style he was developing. you'll learn how he picked cotton on the road between Hillsboro and Abbott and decided there had to be a better way to make a buck. After he read one of his poems to his grandpa, the old man liked it. He had his answer: songwriting. You'll relive all his escapades in Nashville, films, and a myriad of experiences with his friends and his spouses. But like tumbleweed rambling down the road at the whim of the wind, he never was comfortable anywhere but home. And like the Luckenbach song he and Waylon Jennings made popular, he had to get back to the basics of love, life. He could find that only in Texas. A la Davy Crockett, when he got fed up with the Nashville, Tennessee music scene, he told the people there, "Y'all can go to hell, and I will go to Texas." The music producers were interfering with his music style, using backup singers, orchestra background music, and bebop-like lyrics that, well, weren't quite Texas enough for Willie. All he needed was a guitar, a drum or two, and maybe a second guitar and a fiddle to make a song reverberate with personal meaning and make people appreciate the Lone Star State and our country. No, Willie does not like gimmicks and never will. Listen to his songs. Take time to hear the lyrics, and you will know that he is unique. And he's ours, a true Texan. He's part Texas legend and part family, like the uncle who stops by with a great story on Christmas or Thanksgiving. But his story comes to us via song. What's your favorite? In this book, Willie explains what songwriting means to him and reveals that a song is personal. If a song is true to you, it will be for others, he said. An example would be one of his beloved songs, "What Can You Do to Me Now?" He recorded that right before Christmas, and he knew better. You can't tempt fate, or it will bite you in your rear end faster than an East Texas gator. Sure enough, that Christmas Eve, a fire destroyed his ranch house and barns near Nashville. For him, it meant someone was sending him a message. He knew he didn't fit in stylistically with the Nashville sound, as he called it. It was time to head home, back to Abbott, Texas, where he was born and learned to love the openness of the Lone Star State. It's where a singer-songwriter can survive with plain old music and a well-tuned guitar. So Willie got his Texas on, came home, and stayed home. In this age of uncertainty, Willie will always be there to comfort us with his legacy of iconic songs and a voice as crisp as the plaintive cries of a lonely coyote on a Texas prairie. About the book: Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die, Musings from the Road by Willie Nelson. Foreword by Kinky Friedman. Published in 2012 by HarperCollins, New York, New York. 173 pages. Available at Amazon.com, hardcover $30.70 and down. Audiobook free with trial. Kindle $10.80 and free with app. BarnesandNoble.com, paperback $14.99, Nook $14.99. Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or... Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 69 and partly cloudy. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny and hot with a high around 102. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Greetings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, the Alpine Avalanche, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer.